We are so happy to have you here on the Friday, August 9, 2024 installment of Market Plus. Joining us now and continue our discussion, Sean Hackett. I've got my elbow up here because I really want to dig in on this question. We didn't really talk about the WASDE report due Monday. The August report has a tendency, historically in the last few years, to be a surprise. First question, Sean, is from John. Do you agree with USDA acre numbers that are being used for 2024? Given we will see some new data on Monday, what do you think?
I do believe the harvested acres are too high. I think they will start to methodically move them down to take care of what I believe was the flooding situation and the lack of harvested acres coming from that region. So that's going to be one of the things that's going to buffer an increase in yields that's likely coming. So, you know, pick a number, 500,000 acres, a million acres, somewhere in there, I believe, is what they need to do. And that will help, like I said, keep those ending stocks from going up too much when you use that denominator at a lower level.
In corn, do you anticipate we are going to have a higher acreage or a higher bushel per acre above or below 182?
I would be very surprised if the USDA didn't put the number above 182. I don't think they're going to get to 185 where I think we're going. I think they'll do it in step formation. But I think I'd be very surprised if we didn't go into the 183s. And then on our way to 185 in the next report, that's where I think they're going to wind up going, give or take a bushel to the acre.
Soybeans, 52 or 53?
I think in this report, I think they'll stick with 52. I don't think they quite are comfortable enough yet with the weather and where we're at, like corn. So I think more 52-ish on our way to 53-ish come the September report.
Let's talk stocks. We talk supply and demand a lot on the TV show. Is there still a lot of grain still left on the farm? As much as the government thinks there is.
You know, I have no reason to believe it, that they're right or wrong or indifferent. I think there's a lot of grain that hasn't moved. I think a lot of farmers and bankers don't want it to move because the price is very unattractive right now. It eventually has to move, and this is the whole concept of the harvest low and how you clear the decks, create the floor price, and then lock up the rest in the bin until such time that prices become better. But, you know, we have to go through that indigestion process. Clearly, I don't think we're quite done with it yet. Doesn't necessarily mean futures have to go lower. It may be more of a basis widening out issue than necessarily futures.
Well, basis has really been one of the only saving graces for some people here this year. Not everyone, but for it's been spreading farther and farther in than it normally does.
It has. Part of that is, you know, farmers have been holding off selling but eventually, you know, there is some that will have them. I think we might be surprised that not as many farmers are forced to sell as we may think. Last time I checked, they had a couple of good years. I don't think they spent all the money yet. I think they might have some holding power that might be a little stronger than many are suggesting.
Well, that is possible. That is one thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, Sean. I will admit that is part of that discussion. Not many are saying that very loudly. People have been listening to what you say, by the way. I'll get to that in a minute. Gary's question that came in via X, is a weather scare in South America our only hope for a price rally?
Well, the only thing that can happen in the first half of the growing season for a weather scare really is for soybeans. We talked a little bit on the main show that we have the lowest 2%. We have black colored subsoil moisture. It's a dust bowl kind of situation down there. And if we go into the September, October, November planting season and don't get rains, which I don't think we're going to, you're looking at a situation where you could have acres down, which almost never happens mm-hmm. in soybeans, with real problematic yields. La Nina is not developing. We're going to be stuck in more of a neutral phase according to our work going into the end of the year. La Nina is what normally brings rains to the northern half of Brazil soybean areas. That means dry weather is going to persist, and it could be a really, really big story the further along we get. Is it the only thing? No. I think money printing in China we talked about could bring some demand in for the U.S. I also think this potential holding back of importing palm oil from China leading to greater demand for bean oil. I think those are two other catalysts, but definitely, you know, we're going to need some weather help here in Brazil to really get fundamentals in soybeans better off.
Speaking of weather, Sean, Matthew in Iowa has heard you on this show before, and he said, Sean talked dry, scorching heat this summer. What changed?
What I did say is that the Western Corn Belt would be hot and dry, and on the margin, it has been. What I did say is I thought we'd have ample moisture in the east, but we would have a warm nights problem hurting yields. I did not get the warm nights problem correct. I did get the western drought correct. Why did that forecast not take place? The La Nina was developing, and my view was that we were going to develop this La Nina through the summer, making the atmosphere act more La Nina-like, and it stalled in late June and actually backed up to where we were in neutral to El Nino, and the atmosphere responded like an El Nino. El Nino means cool weather in the central eastern grain belt. I thought that was an outlier, given all my work of 50 years of weather anomalies. And sometimes the less probable situation takes place, and that's how that part of the forecast got wrong. But I did get the drought in Brazil correct and the Russia-Ukraine drought correct. I just messed up on the Eastern Grain Belt, which is a big miss, by the way, but I did miss it.
All right, well, I'll give you a chance here. Living the Dream in Northeast Iowa wants to know, what do we see for the rest of the growing season?
I kind of really feel it doesn't really matter too much on the margin. I mean, I think we're at the point where the yields are done. We've made them. Yeah, we can alter them a little bit from here, but I don't really see U.S. weather being a market mover here the rest of the way.
All right, we have an economics question. Again, this is one I hear a lot, and this is Ryan in Iowa. With $3 corn, $9 beans, how $600 plus NH3, $700 plus dry fertilizer, $300 seed corn, $70 bean seed, how's that all going to pencil out? What is going to have to give and when?
Well, I mean, historically, if the prices don't rebound, the inputs always give, right? I mean, maybe not the cash rents give, but the inputs give, because there's only, it's a tube of toothpaste. There's only so much you can squeeze out, and the farmer's just not going to do it. They're just going to cut back on everything they can, and the bank's not going to fund it. We just, you know, talked about how the banks are, you know, kind of putting the squeeze on. So either the price has to rally later on in the year, making it pencil out, or the farmer's just going to delay or pull back what he needs.
What about equipment? Because I hear the Big Green Machine has been, there's all sorts of stories about there, what they're doing with new machinery, used machinery. We've seen cutbacks in that company, plenty of other companies that rely on the farmer to buy something iron. Is that train over for a while?
It is over for a while. I mean, the equipment side is most impacted by this. I mean, farmers bought a lot of equipment over the last few years when times were good. They can go quite a while without having to do anything. And certainly, I don't see them having any appetite to go buy new equipment unless they absolutely positively have to. We're seeing the ag economy, you know, in a major contraction, Paul. You know, we don't want that to happen. We don't like when it happens. It's happened before, it'll happen again. We will get through this, but this is the bad part of the cycle where everyone is getting squeezed and the equipment manufacturers are no different.
Well, okay, we talked about Bank of Japan, we talked about monetary policy. Traditionally, commodities have been opposite the cycle of the equities, and we are both, some have been high, but are we live cattle feeders, you know, that has been high like the stock market? Do you not think that the U.S. economy is struggling right now? Or are we poised to go higher because we keep going lower on the ag side?
The consumer is in a recession. And we may not be in a recession from the GDP that they put out. The consumer is in a recession. There's no question in my mind that the consumer is in a recession. Historically, what happens when the consumer's in a recession, stocks crash, we get monetary policy to go all in, and then the ag cycle fires up. September 11, 2001, 2008, financial crisis, COVID, we've seen numerous examples of this. And the good news is that global liquidity of looking all the central banks printing of money is growing 5% year over year. For the first time since coming out of COVID, that tells me that we're already getting that money putting into the system, and more so, it's a delay, a couple of months delay before we see that finding its way into commodities, but the process has already begun. So I'm optimistic that the liquidity, which always helps commodities, is gonna be coming in later in the year to help commodities out.
We put a bunch of monetary increase in this country since COVID. Everybody who sits in that chair says almost the same thing. There's too much money in the system. Is there too much money in the U.S. system right now? Still.
When you have $35 trillion in debt in a $25 trillion economy, when the world has $320 trillion in debt and a $105 trillion economy, we never have enough money in the system. They've not printed money since the beginning of the year, and we're starting to get convulsions. And only in late July have we seen this money supply start to grow. You cannot deprive a leveraged system a lack of money supply for very long, or assets will deflate. So the answer to the question is no, we never have enough in a situation that we're in. We can argue we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't have gotten ourselves in this mess, but we're here.
America's leading the way, and it might be into a much bigger problem. All right, let's end on something positive. This isn't positive. Kevin in Iowa is going to set us up. Should we sell all new crop now? You hear a lot of talk, mid to lower 3 and 8. Let's go on the downside of how bad this could get. Give me some advice for if I'm holding corn, beans, wheat.
I would say the worst case scenario is we get 190 plus yield corn. I'm not forecasting that. We get, 55 yield soybeans, and we go back and retest the lows that we were at during COVID. I mean, to me, that's your washout, that we get yields far, far above what I believe we're going to see. If we don't get those large yields, I think we're pretty close to a floor clearing price. I'm going to say today what I said back in August of 2020. All my indicators that are forward-looking that I utilize say that we're near a floor clear price. I would only sell what you absolutely positively have to, or you can't store. I would store the rest, lock it up in the bin, and wait for better times to come. I'm convinced that strategy was good during COVID. I believe it's the right strategy today.
And a right strategy we like is having you sit and join us. Good to see you again, Sean.
Thank you, Paul. Always glad to be here.
All right. Thank you much. Sean Hackett, everyone. Next week, we are going to take a look at new regulations that shorten the path for genetically edited seeds. And we'll have the commodity market analysis with Naomi Bloom. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.